Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you that we get to come into your house to sing your praises, to lift up our prayers, to hear from your word. Father, we are so thankful that it is truly your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Because, Father, we know that there's no way that we could buy our way in or work our way in or talk our way in. Father, we thank you for your grace, because it's by your grace that we're saved. It's by your grace that we remain on our way to heaven with you. And so, Father, today, as we look at your son's teaching, help us to get what he's saying, to make that shift in priorities in our hearts and in our heads. And help us, Father, not to just get it for ourselves, but help us, Father, to desire to share this wonderful truth with other people. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, amen, amen. In your worship folders, I want to encourage you to open up your worship folders. And if you look inside your worship folders, there's a space there for discipleship notes. I want to invite you to get out a pen or a pencil so you can jot down whatever God lays on your heart. Because I believe that's why you got up and got out of bed this morning. You know, you could have stayed in bed, you could have watched golf or, you know, sports channel or who knows what. But you decided to get up and get out of bed and come to church because I think you wanted to hear from God this morning. And so if you've taken all that time and effort to do that, then I want to encourage you to get out a pen or pencil, because I think God wants to talk to you. I think he wants to honor your request this morning. And I think the smart thing to do is that when God lays something on your heart, to jot it down and to take note of it, to reflect on it, and to let it lead you in your week. In the reading for today, we're going to focus on verse 32 primarily, but we're also going to look at verse 31 and kind of the setup there in chapter 12 of Luke. It's very interesting what's going on there in Luke chapter 12. You know, when you enter into an agreement with somebody, especially if you've done some of these before in your life, when you enter into an agreement with somebody, you have conditions in that agreement. And the reason you put conditions in that agreement is because, well, quite frankly, you've been burned before. You've been disappointed before. And so you know that you want to protect yourself. And so you're sure to put these conditions in the agreement, because you know that history has taught you that it may very well be that when everything's said and done, you're not going to be happy with the outcome, and then you need to be secure. You need to have a way to get out of that agreement. For example, you may have a problem with your car, something as simple as that, and the brakes are not working on your car. And so you say, well, I'm going to take my car to the mechanic. And you get to the mechanic, and you describe to the mechanic that the car has brake problems, that when you step on the brake, it makes a horrible sound, and you'd like the mechanic to fix it. And so the mechanic says, that's no problem, I can do that. And so, of course, then you want to know how much it's going to what? Cost, exactly. We know how this game gets played. And so you say, well, how much will this cost? And the mechanic says, oh, you know, I think about $100. No problem. So then you give the keys over to the mechanic, and you get a ride to work, and you get done at the end of your day, and you call up the mechanic, and you say, hey, I'm looking forward to picking up my car. And the mechanic says, well, the car is not going to be ready. I'm afraid it's going to take a couple more days. And you say, okay, well, how am I going to get to work? And the mechanic says, well, I don't know. I'm just the mechanic. You got to figure that part out. And so you then make it through the next couple of days getting to work on your own and dealing with all of that. And then the time finally comes to go pick up your car. You call the mechanic again. You say, I'm really looking forward to getting my car. And when can I come by and get it? And the mechanic says, well, come by today after work. It'll be ready for you. And so then you go to the mechanic shop after work that day, just like you were asked. You get there, And you ask the mechanic for the car, and the mechanic says, well, when I was working on your car, I found that in addition to your brakes not working, the lights weren't working, so I went ahead and fixed those. And also the radiator wasn't working properly, so I fixed that as well. And so your total bill is going to be $500. And you say, oh my goodness, right? You say, well, let me take this thing for a test drive. And so he gives you the keys, you get in the car, you go out for your little test drive. Some of you are smiling like you've had this actually happen in your life. And you go out for that test drive, and you come to that first stoplight, and you step on the what? The ding, ding, there you go, you step on the brakes, and it sounds horrible, right? And what happens to your blood pressure? Woo, you are so mad. You can't wait to get back to that auto shop and give that mechanic a piece of your mind, right? You get back to the mechanic, to the auto shop, and you say, hey, you had my car for 4 days. You told me it was gonna be $100. $500 later, the first problem still isn't fixed. What gives? And then the mechanic starts going into his thing, and you start going into your thing, and what you're looking for is the way out of that office, because what you want to do is leave without what? Paying. That's exactly right. Because why? Because that mechanic did not live up to his end of the deal. And so you feel like since he didn't live up to his end of the deal, you don't have to do what? To live up to your end of the deal. Brothers and sisters in Christ, here is the great news about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In this text, he's going to lay out his deal with you today. And here's the amazing thing about the deal that he's going to lay out with you today. He already knows you're going to blow it. He already knows you're going to mess it up worse than any mechanic ever messed up your car or disappointed you or let you down. He already knows how all that's going to go. But he still wants to enter into this deal with you. Why? Why? You and I would never make a deal like that. We'd never go into a deal with a mechanic knowing that that was going to happen. But that's exactly what Jesus has done. Why? Because he loves you. Because he wants to restore you and to reconcile you to his Father in heaven. And that's why in Luke chapter 12, Jesus says these amazing things. He says, look, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Stop worrying about what you're going to wear. Stop thinking about where you're going to live. The whole world worries about these things. Your Father in heaven knows all this. And then here's the deal that Jesus lays out. He says, but seek ye first, this is verse 31. He says, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. What does Jesus mean? Jesus means make your Father in heaven your top priority. Don't be like the world, always worrying about all these things. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. And he doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on and he says, and all these things will be added unto you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is amazing news. That Jesus doesn't only want us to seek after our Father in heaven, but that Jesus is saying our Father in heaven will provide for all that we need. Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, to pray for our daily bread. Peter would ask Jesus in another place in Scripture, Jesus, what will happen to us? We have given up all these things for the kingdom. And Jesus replied to Peter that as much as you have given, so much more will be replaced back unto you. Your Father in heaven knows what you need, and he will well provide for it. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Amen. See, the challenge is that you and I have an adversary, and we've had this adversary since the beginning of time. The adversary, the devil, wants us to doubt this very fundamental truth about our Father in heaven, that he loves us and that he wants the very best for us. The devil went to Adam and Eve and said, what God wants for you, it's really, it might be his pleasure, but it's really not your pleasure. Because if God really loved you, he'd let you be like him. And so the devil got Adam and Eve to doubt. And then when Jesus walked on the face of this earth in human form, Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil came to Jesus and said, you know, if you'll just do these things, you'll have immense pleasure. You'll have the whole world at your feet. The devil tried to get Jesus to doubt. And the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh all try to get us to doubt today. And so we wrestle as we're going through the struggles of today, of trying to make budgets balance, of trying to figure out priorities with our finances, of trying to figure out what we should do in our lives, how we're going to make the boss happy, how we're going to make the customer happy, how we're going to make our spouse happy. As we try to figure out all these things, we are tempted and we are tested to think that if there is a God and if there is a heaven, then the only place that any of this matters is in the sweet by and by. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to ask you to write this verse down for you, for yourselves. It's from Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, the scriptures tell us that the children of a righteous man will never beg for their bread in the streets. I've used that verse many times when trying to uplift and encourage somebody who's going through a job loss, are facing economic uncertainty. You see, you have a Father in heaven, listen to me, you have a Father in heaven who knows your needs, and he will well provide for you. And that's why Jesus says in verse 32, he begins verse 32 by saying, fear not, fear not. And I want to encourage you today to fear not. And you might say, well, that's kind of Pollyannish, Pastor. That's kind of naive to fear not. There's so many things going on, and I'm just going to come back. I'm going to say it again. Fear not. Fear not. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when you allow fear to grip you, you do not get to enjoy the creation that your Father made for you. You don't get to enjoy any of these things that he's given to you because you're consumed like a dog chasing his tail by your fear. And not only don't you get to enjoy the creation that your Father made for you, then you actually replace your Father in heaven with a false god, with a small g god. Because whatever you fear more than your Father in heaven, you've made into a false god. And what I mean by that is that then your hope is in that person or that thing that they will provide for what you need. Jesus says in verse 32, fear not. How can you live without fear? How is it possible to go through this world without fear? Scripture says that the key to this is understanding that the faith which God gives us drives out all fear. And that his love, which he pours into us, drives out all fear. Faith is a gift from our Father in heaven. That's why Jesus says to us, fear not. This week, when you're facing something that causes fear, I want you to remember this morning. I want you to think about what you're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on that thing that causes fear for you? Are you going to focus on the faith in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And then Jesus goes on in verse 32. He says, fear not, for it is, listen to these words, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you. Listen to those words. For it is your Father's good pleasure. You have a Father in heaven who desires to give to you. And that's quite a statement, especially when you look at who you are and who you aren't, and what you are and what you aren't. And when you look at the evidence of Scripture, you look at people throughout Scripture that God desired to give good things to. You know, I don't know about you, but I think if I had spent 6 days creating the universe and everything was perfect, and the very first people I turned the keys over to went and messed it up, I don't know about you, but I'd probably be a little upset. But what did our Father in heaven do? He went down into the Garden of Eden, and he drew Adam and Eve unto him. Or you look at Moses, a man who was a murderer. Moses murdered a man. He was out in the desert tending somebody else's flock. And God drew Moses unto him through a burning bush because God had a purpose for Moses. He had a plan for his life. Moses wasn't going to just take care of somebody else's sheep. Moses was going to be used by God to bring a nation into the promised land. God desires, your Father in heaven desires, it is his good pleasure to give to you. It is his good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. And so what is this kingdom that Jesus is talking about? What does that mean exactly? I want to encourage you to take note of this verse. It's in Luke chapter 17. Jesus says in Luke chapter 17, don't look for the kingdom of heaven there or over there, for the kingdom of heaven is within you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want to know where the kingdom of heaven is, it's right here, it's right now, it is within you and I. Why does Jesus teach us that? Because your body is the temple of the Most High God. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And where does God reign? He reigns in heaven, and heaven is within each and every one of us. Can we give God a praise clap for that today? Amen? I mean, seriously, because it's an amazing thing to think about. If the kingdom of heaven is within you, just get your heads around that for a second. If the kingdom of heaven is within you, what difference does that do to you? Well, if the kingdom of heaven is within you, then you are holy and you are righteous. You are redeemed. You are a child of the Most High God. You are transformed, not because of anything that you did, but because of what he did when he brought the kingdom of heaven within you. And where does he do that? And how does he do that? Scripture says that faith comes through hearing the word, and the word is the message of Christ. Scripture tells us that in the waters of baptism, we are saved. Scripture tells us that at the Lord's table, we receive the body and the blood, and we receive this for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen? Amen. We have a wonderful mission statement as a church. Have you ever heard it before? That was kind of a joke. You know, pastors are all frustrated comedians. Yeah, we have a wonderful mission statement as a church that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through doing three things. That's exactly right. Through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. So you heard the preaching, right? I backed the tape up. You heard the preaching? Yeah. And you heard the teaching, right? So now it's time to talk about what? Living our daily lives. So a couple of years ago, I was invited as a network support missionary to go to this church in Oklahoma to do a workshop for them to help them with their outreach. And specifically what I was there to teach them about was prayer walking and using this prayer app that I was blessed to be able to build. And so I did the workshop for them that Saturday morning. We got done about noon, and the pastor said to me some of my favorite words I've ever heard before, "I'd like to take you to lunch." And I said, "Amen, brother, let's go." So we hopped in his little pickup truck, and he took me to a biker bar. And so it's kind of interesting because the pastor and I, we had our clerical collars on, and we walk into this biker bar. I mean, it was like something out of a movie or something. I don't know what, you know. And we go in there, we sit down, we order our burger and soda, and we're just sitting there talking. And probably the biggest biker in the biker bar walks up to our table, and he introduces himself, and he says, I'm the president of this biker association. And I said, "Well, it's very nice to meet you, sir," you know. And he says, "I've been working for 2 years to get our biker club set up so that we can be an official chapter of this particular organization that reaches out and cares for abused children." And so I said to Mr. President of the biker club, I said, "That's wonderful. Thank you for what you're doing. That's an important service in your community. It's very important what you're doing." And I went on and I told him, I said, "I'm here because I'm here helping this church do its outreach." And I said, I built an app for prayer. I said, do you have a smartphone?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, get it out." And he did. He got it out. And I said, "You go to the app store and you can download the app." And so he did that. And I explained it to him real quickly. And I said, "So now here's what you can do with this. The next time that you and your bikers are out taking care of the needy children in this community, all you got to do is just put in the zip code, and it'll pull up this church here, and you can put in a prayer request that only the church members get to see, and you can make it confidential if you want to, then only the pastor gets to see it. And then that church will pray for these kids and their families, and this church right here, and this man, by the way, this man that I'm eating lunch here with, he's the pastor of the church, This church will care for these families to the best of their ability. And I'll never forget this big old biker. He got kind of misty-eyed, and he looked at me and he said, "We're going to do this." I said, "Well, praise God." So the next morning I was preaching for the church, and I made a point in my sermon of letting the church know that that yesterday, the previous day, when we got done with the workshop, that the pastor took me to lunch to the biker bar. And they all laughed, because apparently the pastor had that tradition of taking guest preachers to the biker bar. And then I shared with them about the conversation we had with the president of the biker club, and how now they had ministry partners. They had ministry partners. And these ministry partners rode motorcycles. And they cared for people in the community. And that these bikers were going to put prayer requests into that church's prayer app of children and families that needed help. And that this would give this church an opportunity to connect with people in this community that they might not ever meet otherwise. And I'll never forget that congregation. They gave God a praise clap for that day. It is your Father's good pleasure to give to this world His kingdom. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we be His willing and His humble vessels and instruments in making that happen. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts, all of our minds, in Christ Jesus. Guys, that's right.